Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are watching this today, and welcome to another episode of Microsoft Developer Radio. My name is Peter Ladotti, and I'm evangelist here at Microsoft, and I'm joined today by my counterparts, Brian Hitney and Mr. Andrew Duthie. So let's introduce everybody. Hey, Brian, how's it going?
It's going great, Peter. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. We're back here with Andrew Duthie today talking about a lot of different things. If you watched our last episode with Andrew, we started diving into a little bit of how he created some back end for his Windows 8 apps, and we covered at a high level some of the topics like OData and Windows Azure Mobile Services and Web API and all these things at a high level. But what we wanted to do today was try to dive into OData a little bit. We won't have enough time to go into really more than one of these in an episode, so we figured we'd start there. So Andrew, why don't you introduce yourself, recap the project a little bit, and talk about what we're going to be diving into today.
Sure. So I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft, and I'm out of the DC area, so I'm in the Virginia suburbs. And what we talked about in the previous episode is I've done a series of blog posts covering building backend services for Windows Store apps. And I wanted to kind of cover the gamut of technologies and not to, you know, kind of go too deep into what we talked about in the previous episode, but I did several versions of the same, basically a leaderboard app for Windows Store games written in HTML and JavaScript. So I've got one version that uses WCF data services to present kind of an OData service to the world, one version that uses ASP.NET Web API, and one version that uses Windows Azure Mobile Services. So today we're going to kind of dive deeper and do some demos around how to build out a WCF data service so that you can have an OData service that's basically just a RESTful service that gives you kind of CRUD over HTTP. That's kind of a simplistic way of looking at it, but it gives you kind of a rich querying ability, both URL-based queries as well as there are a lot of OData clients that are available for specific platforms. And so what I want to do is kind of walk us through creating the cloud project. So we're going to build this as an Azure cloud service, kind of building that out from scratch, testing it, give you kind of an overview of how you would publish that out to Windows Azure, and then also look at the JavaScript code that I use in my game to connect to that leaderboard service once it's published. All right, so I wanted to start with a look at the blog post that kind of inspired this show. We're not going to get a chance to get into all of the nitty-gritty of what's covered in the post. It's actually a two-part blog post. There's a lot of detail in there. One of the things that I've sort of done ahead of time to save time is I've gone ahead and created a database in Windows Azure. You can create a SQL database. So I've gone ahead and created a database and created the schema for my database. So if you want to see the schema, it's basically I've got an ID column, a game player, score, wins, losses, and ties. So it's a fairly simple schema. And this is what we're going to use in Visual Studio to create our service. So I'm going to flip over to Visual Studio. Now you might notice if you take a look at the top of my Visual Studio window here that I'm currently running Visual Studio as an administrator. And the reason for this is that I'm going to be building a cloud service, and in order to make my cloud service debuggable, I need to be running as an administrator so that we can launch the services that basically give me kind of the imitation cloud on my desktop. So I'm going to start off with a new project, and I'm going to go into C# and cloud, and I'm going to select a Windows Azure cloud service. And we're going to go ahead and call this cloud service Game Leader OData Demo, if I can spell that right. We'll click OK. Now when we click OK, we're going to get prompted for the kind of web role or worker role that I want in my cloud service. In this case, what I want is a WCF service web role. What this is going to do is it will actually configure all of the stuff that I need to be able to access the service. We're not actually going to use the default web service that it'll give us or the WCF service, but this is a good starting point. When I click on this pencil here, it gives me the ability to change the name of this. So I'm going to just call this Game Leader Service OData. Click OK. And this is going to go ahead and set up my project for me. Now, as I mentioned before, I've gone ahead and created the SQL database in Windows Azure, and I've connected to that in Visual Studio here so that I can actually go in, log into my database, and view the tables and such that are in here. Now, you might notice I've got a couple of tables in here. The reason for this is that, as we mentioned in the previous show, I've also got a version of this service that uses Windows Azure Mobile Services, and that's actually using this game scores table. So with Windows Azure Mobile Services, you actually have the ability to have the mobile service automatically partition a database, so you can use the same back-end database for multiple services. And then I also have a table that I've added manually that I'm going to use for our service here. And so it's the scores table. It's got the same schema that you saw in the web-based management console. So I've got that all hooked up here. All right, so initially when Visual Studio opens up my cloud service, it's going to give me the service1.svc.cs. I don't need that. I'm going to go ahead and close it up. I don't actually need that. So I'm going to go ahead and delete the service and its underlying interface. All right, and we should be good to go there. Now, in order to be able to get access to our database, we need to add to our project here an entity data model. So I'm going to say add new item. I'm going to go here under data. I'm going to say ADO.NET entity data model. And I'm going to change this from model 1 to game scores. And I'm going to add that. This will kick off a wizard. I want to generate this from a database. When I click next, it's going to give me automatically the connection string that I already have set up. Now, because this is a demo, I'm going to go ahead and include the connection string and password information in the connection string itself. In a production application, you would want to secure this separately. So you should definitely evaluate the security needs of your particular application and do the right thing. So this is going to be my entity name here. We'll click next. And I'm going to go into tables, drill down to my scores table, and I want to model that particular table. So what I'm doing here is basically building out a data model that I can use for my WCF data service. We'll click finish. And pretty soon we should have a data model that we can work from. There we go. Diagram's coming up. So it's basically got our score table and then the individual items. Now, one note on when you decide to build your schemas, you might notice here that one of the properties is called score1. Now, it turns out that because of the way that that Entity Framework pluralizes and singularizes different items, because I named my table score and a column score, it actually appends this score1 to the column so that there aren't conflicts in the naming. So just something to keep in mind when you're creating your schemas. I've already created the schema, so I'm going to live with that little change there. All right. So the next thing that I want to do is I want to add my WCF data service. Now, Visual Studio 2012 does come with a version of ADO.NET data services or WCF data services built in, but I want to make sure I get the latest and greatest. So I'm going to take advantage of a feature of Visual Studio called NuGet, and this can be found under the Library Package Manager, and I'm going to go to the entry in my tools menu for Manage NuGet Packages for Solution. What I'm going to do is I'm going to search online, and I'm going to go look for WCF data services, and you can see I've searched for that before. And one of the items that's available here is WCF data services server. So I'm going to go ahead and install the latest version, which is 5.2. One of the reasons that I want the latest version of this, and I'm going to go ahead and tell this is the project that I want this in. One of the reasons I want the latest version of this is that from 5.1 on, they provided support for a query string argument called format, which allows me to, without having to mess around with the HTTP headers, it gives me the ability to specify that I want JSON format versus the default Atom Pub format for OData, which is very convenient when I'm working with JavaScript clients. All right, so now I've got that all installed. Now, one thing that you may have to do, I found that I needed to do, was go back into the references And we added this Microsoft.data.services.client. One of the default references that'll be in here is a system.data.services.client. We don't need that. That's for an older version of WCF Data Services. So I'm just going to pull that out, and we should be good to go.
Hey, Andrew.
Yes.
So I think we're both Peter and I are watching this, and Peter had a question related to the project. Peter.
Andrew, are there any compatibility issues running any of these extra libraries in the Azure environment?
Very, very good, Peter. Your voice seems to be a little higher. I'm not sure what's happening there, but I think you might be playing with a fun little app for Windows Phone that you were telling us about. As far as I'm aware, no, there aren't any issues with running these libraries in the Azure environment. I've been able to push this out to the Azure cloud and test it just fine. So as far as I'm aware, no compatibility issues. What I'm going to do at this point, I'm going to go ahead and run a build just so that I have my data model built out and available in the assemblies for my project. And then our next step is we need to add our WCF data service. So again, I'm going to do add WCF data service, and we're going to call this, actually, I'm going to do it a different way. I'm going to say add new item. And WCF data service, and we're going to call this guy, what do I want to call it? Let me call it there. We'll call it that. Now, what we're presented with here, let me zoom in a little bit here so you can actually see this. It's going to cooperate here. Okay. I'll do it this way. There we go. So what this is basically this is the backing service for my data service. And you can see that one of the first things it says is put your data source class name here. And this should be game leader web API DB entities. And that's basically coming from the name of my database and then DB entities. So I'll put that in there. And then I need to provide access to the data set here. And so what we'll do is our entity set it should be score. And I want to provide all read and all write. Now this is giving me full access. Now, of course, what this means is I should really be careful about securing my service, because at this point, anybody who can access my service endpoint can update anything in my database. So because this is a WCF service, you can use any of the typical methods used for securing the service. You can do certificates, you can do basic authentication, you can do, you know, basically if you can do it with WCF, you can do it with a WCF data service. So that should make us good to go, and we'll build that. Didn't get any errors. So we're going to go ahead and test this, and let's go ahead and...
Hey, Andrew?
Yes.
Hey, I do have a question for Brian here, and let's let Brian talk.
Andrew, okay. We're a little short on time. Can you talk about the client-side code briefly?
Sure, but I want to test this really quickly and make sure it's working so that we can actually see what the client-side code looks like. All right, so I've pulled up my service running in localhost, and you can see the URL here, game leader service odata.svc. What you're seeing here is Atom Pub, okay, and this is telling me that I have one collection called scores. So if I actually append that to my URL, what it's going to give me is the Atom Pub format. And the reason I'm seeing the Atom Pub is that I actually have feed view turned off for IE. Normally what you'd see is just a blank or a semi-blank screen, because it would hide the actual markup. Now if I change this to say format equals JSON, so you can see I've got the query string, and then I've got this dollar sign format, which is an OData argument that's telling my OData service I want to view this data as JSON data or JavaScript object notation. You can see that this is a considerably more succinct way of dealing with the data, and that's what I want for my internal app. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to grab my URL, and let's go take a look at the client-side code. All right, so we're looking at the leaderboard odata.js. So this is just basically a JavaScript file that I use to abstract away all of the control code for my leaderboard service. And I've got, you know, a bunch of variable declarations. I've got some namespace stuff, which is going to allow me to call into these functions from outside of this particular JavaScript file. So that's how I kind of wire those into the rest of my app. And I've got an init function, and what I'm doing in my init function, among other things, is setting up the URI from which I call my service. In this case, I've got this wired into my local version of the service that I've got running on my local machine. And then I'm limiting the query to my local game name and my player name. And the filter syntax here is another OData filter. It's like a query filter that you can pass along on the URL. It just makes it very flexible to call these RESTful type services and pass in information to filter the information. I'm also specifying in the options for my XML HTTP request that I want to pass an accept header that is for application/JSON, which is another way for me to get the JSON data rather than the Atom Pub. And then basically what I'm going to do is make a WinJS XHR request, which is going to return me a set of results, which then I'm going to parse through to get the individual scores. Now, if I don't have any scores, I need to actually create an initial entry, and that's going to dynamically create this schema in, or that this will actually dynamically add the first row if there isn't a row in my table. And then basically, I need to make another request then to go and get the actual finished results. So once I've got that done, then I've got a score object to play with. One of the other things that I do, however, is I've got a function here called getTop10Scores. So when I want to display my leaderboard, I'm going to again use WinJS promise, and I'm going to go ahead and create an XHR options that includes my leaderboard client base URI, then the filter of the game name, and then an order by query that basically says I want to order by the score and I want to get the top 10. Again, I'm going to get application/JSON, and then I'm going to go out and do the query, get the scores, and then I'm going to bind that into my leaderboard list, which is a list view control on my leaderboard HTML page. So that looks something like this here, where I've got a template with the player and the score one, and that's going to get bound into this template here that's going to get iterated over. So let's run this real quick, and you can see if we go ahead and go to the leaderboard page, you can see I've got three records, one for DevHammer, one for Seeker, which is my Xbox Live gamer tag, and then one for Player One. Obviously, DevHammer is currently in the lead, but all of this stuff is coming out of that existing database that we had. And if I play another game, I can also update those scores. In the interest of time, I'm going to spare us playing the game because we'll probably see that game again in future episodes. So, Peter and Brian, you got any questions or anything else you want to add or have me add before we wrap up?
Are you sure you want to open up to that?
You're not allowed to use the app to ask questions anymore.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about. So, in summary, from here, what would you then need to do to publish this into Azure?
Oh, yeah. Very good. Point there. So to publish this, I can simply go into my Azure project and I can right-click my project and select the publish option. Now in this case, I already have a subscription set up with an import. So if I wasn't already, if I didn't already have my Azure account wired into Visual Studio, I basically need to sign in and download some credentials, which includes a certificate from the SQL Azure website, or from the Windows Azure website, excuse me. Once I've made that wire up, I can simply choose the subscription that I want to have in here, or I can even manage my subscriptions after the fact. And I can say, next, you know, I want to create a new cloud service. I'd say game leader OData. I can choose a region where I want to publish that. Let's say I wanted to publish it to North Central US, or actually, let's go a little closer to us. How about East US? Click OK. And it's going to go ahead and create a service on the back end for me. Now I can start off in staging, which is usually a good practice. I can send it out there as a debug or a release configuration. We can do release. And then the service configuration, I'm going to use the cloud service configuration. Now I'm not going to go through the entire process of publishing. I click next, it's going to give me a summary of all the things that I've chosen here. And then I can click the publish button and it will automatically go out and take care of all of the stuff that's needed to create this new cloud instance in my Azure account to stand up all the services, publish the app to that cloud instance, and then fire it up and get it running. And then once that takes place, what I would get is in my output window below, it would show me the URL that I need to connect to that service. So it's a pretty straightforward operation. I'm going to go ahead and cancel that right now. But it's a very straightforward operation to publish this service out to the Azure cloud. And then once I've actually published that out there, if we go back into my JavaScript code, then I would just basically have whatever the domain I have set up or whatever the name is that I have set up for the app is where I would be able to access that service. Now, depending on how you've got your Azure account configured, you can either stick with the .cloudapp.net kind of naming convention, or you can do a custom domain if you've got a certain level of account privileges in Azure.
Okay, Andrew, this looks really, really cool. So now in the next episodes, we're going to be looking at Web API and Windows Azure Mobile Services doing the same kind of thing?
Yeah, so the process for Web API is actually very, very similar to what you get with WCF Data Services. How you get to the endpoint with Windows Azure Mobile Services is a little bit different, but the end result is quite similar to what you get with Web API. So we'll probably bang those out hopefully in a single episode and sort of show you a few different flavors of how you can do this and build some great back-end services for your apps.
Sounds great. Peter, any final comments?
No, that was a great show there from Andrew, and look forward to hearing more about mobile services and the web API next time.